sociologists, anthropologists all over the place. I get the chance to talk to many people, elementary right up to university. And I always say this. I said, the white people are very smart people. They taught us many things, the native people. We talk their language, we sing their language. But I've yet to hear him sing my and talk my language fluently. So I call him stupid.
How about the missionaries? Do any of the priests and the ministers, have they learned the language?
Not fluently,
Not fluently.
A lot of them have written languages. You know, they've written the Cree and Cree syllabics. But they haven't. I haven't heard anybody talk fluent like native people. Now, if you look at it the other way around, our people, the Indian people, can talk just like they've been taught, you know. But I've yet to see it the other way around.
You speak your traditional language,
too. Oh, yes. It's the people.
Oh, yes.
It's the
I won't try and get into a conversation.
Blackfoot. That's Blackfoot. That's Blackfoot. I ain't swearing to you, but it's kind words I said.
Thank you very much. How about a song?
Okay. Okay, I'll sing a war dance song.
That's Rufus Goodstriker from Alberta. Rufus, is there a particular meaning to that song now?
Yes, this is something the white man always asks. Is there any words to it? No. There's a different meaning to all the different sounds you hear in native music. There's a message. You could tell what kind of song it is, you know, if it's a song you like. But this is why I say, when I sing, especially, one time I was at the university, you know, there was a few natives in there. They knew I was going to pull that string again. I said, I'm going to sing three songs. And you tell me the difference between the three songs. I sang the same three songs three times, and they thought I was singing another one every time.
So
I fooled them.
You fooled them.
It's going to take a long time before the white man will learn my culture. Although they're writing down many things, they're teaching a lot of stuff they're writing down, especially some of these anthropologists, you know. But if they want to go right into religious things, they should bring out some of the songs that have to come with certain religious things. Those songs are very important that go with these stories. And this is something they're stuck. Our people are doing them now. We've got, why we're in this educational field. There are too many white teachers teaching Indian culture nowadays.
That's something I wanted to ask you about, the anthropologist and the involvement of the white people in the Indian culture. But before I do, we have to take a break. We're talking with Rufus Goodstriker, a blood Indian of the Blackfoot tribe, and George Dawson, a Yukon Indian born and raised. The program is Talk Back. The number is 667-7891. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
It's a common saying that there just aren't enough hours in a day. But 24 hours are enough for Hogan's. They'll have your black and white film photo finished in just that long. They also offer a 5-day photo finishing service on your color films. If you're planning a trip abroad, Hogan's will take your passport pictures and give you fast, efficient service. And they'll check out your camera free of charge to make sure it's in top operating condition. At Hogan's, they understand the excitement of photography and all it involves. So take advantage of their services. Hogan's on Main Street.
Making a move? Then make it a smart move with Pacific Northwest Moving. Agents for United Van Lines, Pacific Northwest Moving will take care of all your moving arrangements. Shipping, storing, packing, cartage, crating, and assure the freshness of all your possessions because every van is sanitized. Pacific Northwest Moving, they move with care anywhere. Make the right move with Pacific Northwest Moving at 3rd Avenue in Hanson. Phone 667-7252. They do more than just get you there. Pacific Northwest Moving.
Call now. Good morning, Talkback. We lost them. Be patient with us. We'll get to you. 667-7891 is our phone number. If you're out of town and you've got a question, please call Collect. Our guests are Rufus Goodstriker and George Dawson. We're talking about Indian folklore, and we're going to talk, too, a little about native crafts, hopefully. Good morning, Talkback.
Yes, does your friend there know any Sioux Indian song?
Rufus?
Yes.
Sioux Indian song, you do?
Yes.
Would you like him to sing one?
Yes, that would start the morning real good.
Are you a Sioux, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
I'll sing a short piece of a thank you song. This the Sioux from my northern Winnipeg. See, there's five different types of Sioux I know. Some in Rabbit City, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Fort Capel, and further east in Manitoba. But this song comes from Manitoba.
Yes, I'm from Manitoba. Okay. That'd be really good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, she'll be listening on the air, of course, and it's going to really make the day.
I hope you're not having tears come out of your eyes.
That was a Sioux thank you song you said from Manitoba.
Yeah, that's the song we use, yes. And we sing it quite commonly on our resort, the Blood Resort. We use it for a greeting song, but we sing it a little different.
Mm-hmm. What's the main tribes in Alberta, in the areas that you come from?
Well, there's Blackfeet, Chip, Cree, Sarcee, Beaver, Soto, and Stoney, and Sarcee.
All over
that's
Alberta.
That's eight tribes in Alberta, different tribes.
George Dawson, that's a question that I've been asked several times. What are the main tribes in the Yukon? Are there a lot of tribes, a lot of different native people?
Well, I sure really can't answer that, John, because I kind of not taking interest in that. Mm-hmm. I know our tribe is Crow and Wolf. Yeah.
Those are the two main tribes, aren't they?
Yeah.
George, you're involved in the Indian dancing and the Indian songs, and I don't think we Yukoners should certainly be outdone, and I'd very much like to hear you do a Yukon Indian song for us, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I can do you a song of our chief Jim Boss, if you like, and I am not in really good position to sing. Got a cold.
Well, you just do your thing.
Okay, John. I don't think I really need a drum. Hi, young.
Thank you very much. That's the Chief Jim Voss song. Who is Chief Jim Voss?
Well, Chief Jim Voss is a big chief we had here in the early days, during the 98. He used to have a roadhouse at Lake LaBarge, and when he served trout, he calls it Yukon turkey. Chief Jim Voss, he owned Lake LaBarge at one time till the government, Canada government, took over, and he used to charge the Chechagas going across the lake 25 cents just to go across the lake.
It was his lake?
Yeah, he owns that lake.
Tell me, George, I think he's related to you, is he not?
Yes, sir, he's my uncle.
And how long ago did Chief Jim Voss pass on?
Oh, I would say, guess Lee, just before the last war. Too sure in what year.
George, you over the years, you've watched the progression amongst the Native people up here. The last few years, of course, with the advent of the Native Brotherhood and the Yukon Association of Non-Status Indians, there seems to be a lot more activity. Is it all for the good, do you think?
Well, I hope it is.
Working that way.
Yeah.
Rufus, I don't know if you get into political discussions at all, but there are a lot of discussions about Native land claims and rights and so forth. What's your opinion?
Well, I think it's necessary to try and get all we can of the government, because you could see most of our people are still grumbling of all the land they lost and what claims that they should be asking for. Like, I'm on the board of the Alberta Treaty Aboriginal Rights. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of reports coming in now. We started to set up our claims for the next, we got 2 years to work on it. But we have quite a bit of literature as of now.
The reception, I gather, by the federal government up until recently, as a matter of fact, the Yukon presentation was well received. The reception up to that time on Aboriginal rights hasn't been all that great. How do you think it's going to go? Do you think that the government will be able to come to agreement with the Indian people?
Yes, in a way, but they're awful smart people. You know, all those people that go in down there all educate people, and they work on figures. Like, imagine they'll treat us like the way they did with the Blackfeet in Montana and the Sioux and the Groovons. A couple of years ago, they came up with their claims, and they lost a lot of things because they turned around and charged them for welfare and all those different grants. They put them in, you know, took them off. They didn't get their full share of what they wanted.
Good morning, Talkback.
John?
Yes?
This morning there was a horse that wandered in my yard.
A horse, yeah?
Yeah, I just wonder if anybody who's listening has lost a horse. It's a Palomino and white legs.
A Palomino with white legs,
yeah.
Has been found.
If somebody's listening that lost it, if they could call 82846.
Okay, where do you live, sir?
It's mile 912.7 Alaska Highway.
Mile 912.7.
Yeah.
And a Palomino horse has wandered into your yard, and if anybody's listening and they've lost a horse, they can call you at 82846.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. We do all kinds of services, Rufus, on this program. A Palomino horse is found down at mile 912.7. And talking about some of the settlements, is it the hope of the Indian people in your committee, certainly, that once the settlements are reached, then... from there on you have your own organizations to control and run your own affairs?
Well, it all comes from the treaties. Any treaty has been signed. And then at that time, any treaty that was signed, our people never spoke a word of English. Most people didn't. So therefore, as time came along, our children started to get educated. Mm-hmm. And they started to find these documents. But that's another stupid mistake the government had. They should have just made a verbal agreement with the Indians, and it would have been all over with a long time ago. But they went and caught themselves making a treaty in black and white. And then start educating our kids now. They're getting a backfire now.
Good morning, talk back.
Oh, good morning. I'd just like to say hello to Mr. Goodstriker.
Yes?
While he's on your program. My name's Mrs. Randall, and I'm the mother of one of the boys who went down in September to visit the reserve down near Calgary. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say thank you very much for what Mr. Goodstriker did for the boys, and to say I hope he's enjoyed his stay up here for the rendezvous.
Well, Mrs. Randall, thank you very much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Very much appreciated. All right. And we are talking with Rufus Goodstriker and George Dawson. We're talking about the Indian traditions primarily and Indian culture. If you have any questions or comments, please give us a call here at TalkBack. The number is 667-7891. We'll be back in a minute.
The Chicchini Curling Club will be hosting a sportsman's bond spiel March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It'll be open for men's rinks only, and all entries must be received no later than 6 p.m. on March the 1st. Send your entries to the Takini Curling Club, 60 Range Road, or phone 668-5938 or 668-5662. Prizes for the Bonspiel winners will be right up to the sportsman's line, sleeping bags, rifles, and camping equipment, etc. So if you're a curling sportsman, it's an open spiel, open to all men, and it's not restricted to Takini Club members only. Don't miss the Sportsman Bonspiel this coming March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
It's a common saying that there just aren't enough hours in a day. But 24 hours are enough for Hogan's. They'll have your black and white film photo finished in just that long. They also offer a 5-day photo finishing service on your color films. If you're planning a trip abroad, Hogan's will take your passport pictures and give you fast, efficient service. And they'll check out your camera free of charge to make sure it's in top operating condition. At Hogan's, they understand the excitement of photography and all it involves. So take advantage of their services. Hogan's on Main Street.
Thank you very much, Reed. Talking with Rufus Goodstriker from Alberta and George Dawson, of course, from Whitehorse and from Yukon, talking about Indian traditions and culture. What is the basis of Indian culture? Song and dance, Rufus, seems to have played a big part in Indian culture. Anything else?
Not only that, that's not the most important thing, because anybody can get out and dance. Mm-hmm. It's that down deep in inheritance, you know. Since missionaries came into this country, it happened funny down in our country. The missionaries, they even raced to the hospitals to convert that newborn child. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really understand, but now, we start to really, you know, what's going on in Scotland, in Ireland, Scotland, is a good example of this religion, Christianity. A lot of our people are hearing about this thing. You know, my mother died before Christmas. She is an Anglican. I was raised Anglican, and when I married that, I married a Catholic. Now there's a friction between me and my mother. Mm. Because she's Anglican, and then if this war ever comes over to Canada, I'm going to have to fight with my relatives. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's a good thing if you live it right, this Christianity, but I still think the down-deep Indian religion in heritage is very important in raising of children. That automatic discipline and respect comes out of it. The way I was raised and older people, the way they were raised. Today, an old man will get up in front of a teenage group and try to talk, they'll just laugh at him because he don't have much education. I only have grade 7 education myself. And it happens all over, but now they're starting to cling to that, you know, that respect for that old guy. They start to realize that there is something, a value coming out of that old guy to hear him talk. Mm-hmm. This is the most important thing is that the everyday life of the Indian native way training that you, that self-respect and respect for the elder.
Do the Indians of today The young people particularly know how to live close to the land and in harmony with nature, which I think was certainly the one of the basis of the life of the Indian people?
Well, the main thing is that our people are very close to nature. Young people now, this new tribe they call hippies, the white man calls hippies, and they're white people, most of them. They push them around, and I feel that the Indian is higher rated than the hippie, the way they treat them. Like in southern states, the black people, they're kicked way down low, and the Indian is above them, you know, the way they recognize people. But I don't believe in this. I believe in humanity. When I speak to someone, I expect to have a friend. And if a person don't like me, I'll walk on, go to the next guy. That's my philosophy in life, to have friends.
Rufus, in traveling the country as you do, in your field, do you actually run into blatant, obvious prejudice?
Yeah, well, I run into all sorts of it, but where I stand as an Indian, I'm a non-drinker. This is where I got my foundation built. And I think a lot of our people have done that too. A lot of people that do not drink, they can feel that they're equal. This equality is quite, is a word is pretty hard to explain. Like the way I feel, even I was walking down Toronto one time, and these young, that's before I had my hair in braids. I had long shaggy hair, and I got gray hair. My cowboy hat, my buckskin jacket, and these young kids, they even laughed at me. Says, "Look at that Indian hippie." You know, and I thought it was a good joke. But when I had her in braid, it was all different. You know, I felt great, and that's one of those things. You know, that kind of built in something. I'm not a white man hater, but I have lots to say about this because I have spent 1 hour in school with five nice braids when I was a young kid of seven. I was drugged to school, and I didn't spend an hour there. They cut my braids off. The matron took my braids off, and ever since then, I wore a brush cut until 5 years ago. I decided I'm going to grow my hair and get my hair back.
Good morning. Talk back.
Good morning. Good morning. You're looking well.
I don't know how you can tell since we're not on television this morning, but...
I can tell by your voice, huh?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Oh, I can tell by your voice.
Are you sounding to me like you're still rendezvousing?
Yeah, you look just as sexy as ever.
Well, did you have a good rendezvous?
Oh, yeah.
Are you having a good rendezvous?
Oh, enough.
Yeah.
About this, chief, what's his name?
Good Striker. Rufus Good Striker. Hmm? You have a question?
Well, I don't have a question, no. I just want to ask you, I said, why? Well, I don't know. I'm a half-breed.
Mm-hmm.
Half Indian and half Norwegian. Oh, man. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's a fine combination.
But I'm telling you that, I'm not telling you, but I mean, what do you mean to prove by all this?
Rufus, what's the purpose of coming on programs like this and talking about these things?
Right.
Okay, well, you just listen, ma'am. We'll let you hang up and you listen to your radio, okay? Thank you.
Okay, now.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of... She wants to know, as a half-Indian person herself, she says, what are we proving by sitting here publicly discussing Indian traditions in Indian ways?
Uh-huh.
What do you think? She's listening on the radio.
Now, don't feel bad, my friend. I'm part German, too. But the only difference is I still have a treaty number. So, therefore, I'm a treaty Indian from Alberta. And I mix with all types of people. I try not to talk about half-breeds or Métis, whatever, or non-status. I don't wish to get into politics, but as I said, I'm following my grandfather's philosophy. He said, if you have a million friends when you die, you're richer than a millionaire that has no friends.
And, sir, the idea behind... You do a lot of public relations, obviously. Is this to make people aware of the whole Native background and situation?
Well, you know, it's too bad that this law that came about, treaty, non-status, you know, that's what's, you know, it's not made by the native people. It's made by the governments, that this classification.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should have been done.
Well, will that be eliminated in your opinion? It surely should be eliminated. I haven't talked to anybody that doesn't agree, native or otherwise, that it was a bad law, the non-status idea.
Yeah, well, as I said, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
Now, it's not my fault that I have freckles. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault that I grow a beard too. Mm-hmm. It happened 2-3 generations away. So, what can I do about it? But I'm still a treaty Indian.
Right. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Native people. We're talking about their background, primarily concerned not with the politics of the whole situation, because that's another program altogether. Primarily concerned with culture and tradition of Indian people. We have two guests, Rufus Goodstriker from Alberta and George Dawson from Yukon. Good morning, Talkback.
Hello, John.
Yes.
Oh, Ed Anderson.
Hello, Ed.
Goodstriker used to be quite an active participant in the Calgary Stampede. I wonder if you want to ask about some of those exploits.
I sure will.